following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. Thank you for dialing us up, tuning us in, downloading us, streaming us, however it is that you consume the program. Appreciate you doing that. Please tell a friend. We got a big show for you here this time out for this episode. This is a big one here for you. We got a little bit later on here, Mr. Watermelon Slim will join the program. We were fortunate enough to spend some time with him down in the studios at Radio Memphis, and just had a large time down there. So for episode 219, this is one for the books. And trust me, next week, not next week, week after next is going to be just as good too. I can promise you that. It's, if not better, well, next week will be good too. I don't. What do I know? Liz Mandeville will be on the program next week. Those of you who have been listening to Radio Memphis here this past week have probably noticed that we've undergone some changes, and some of them are not all great. It happens. A lot of it is because it's a work in progress. We've updated the website to something really quite fantastic. Jeff Janovitz did a great job with it. The brand new website at radio-memphis.com. It's really quite cool and fun. We're constantly tinkering with it, and we're adding some new stuff to it as you do. And a lot of it is just dealing with time and getting everything scheduled as such. And also, while that's happening, we went through a process at the radio station to work on our playout system, which is, of course, it's all computer controlled, and we wound up getting some different software in here that we're having to work with. And it's good stuff. It really is. It's a fantastic piece of software that does what we need it to do, and it's very robust. It's got a great support group that go with it, and we've been tinkering with it, but it's rather involved. And I have spent the last 10 days, probably 12, 13, 14 hour days at the studio, trying to tinker with this thing and fine tune it, and it still has its issues, as stuff like this often does. It tends to like start and stop and belch and fart and do everything else that it's trying to do as we work with it. So thank you for your patience on it. It does stay on the air. That's a good thing. It'll just stop every once in a while for no good reason and just kind of sit there and look at you. And then a few seconds later, it just keeps right on going. So we're trying to solve that problem. We've got our people on it. That's just what you do. And it's all part of growing. You go through these growth pains every once in a while. And we're damn near 7 years on the air with this thing, and trying to keep up with what's going down out there, if you will. It's not easy. If you were to go to the website at an odd time when there's like nothing live in the studio, you'll see this very thin little bar that goes across the screen on the live stream end of it that shows you part of the player. That's strictly temporary. That's going to actually, you'll see a lot more of it a little bit later on. We're still working with it, so we're trying to get all those bugs worked out. And as we do, we'll keep you posted. But thankfully, no one has complained, not yet, and that's a good thing. I've talked to a few people who went, notice you're having some issues over there. Best of luck. Thanks. Appreciate it. But we're working on it. Got some good people behind us, and we'll keep you posted as to how that goes along. But that's all part of it. As you do things, as you grow a little bit, and you increase your technology some, there's always a little bit of a little hitch in there that you gotta overcome. It's never been a very easy concept. And of course, my wife and I were talking over lunch today about it, and she's like, you sure are putting in a lot of time in this, and she wasn't being mean or anything. She's just like, you've devoted a lot of time to this, and you've put your heart and soul into something like that. You hope for the best, and that's the way it works. We all do. It's kind of how that is. So once again, thank you for putting up with our nonsense as we not really nonsense, but thank you for putting up with our problems as we work it out to make it that much more reliable for you. And it is. It's cool. It doesn't, when it quits, it's not missing anything. It just stops, and then it just picks right back up where it left off. Thankfully, it's not doing it in the middle of a song. When you hear that, if you happen to be listening in the middle of a tune, it just quits. That's because that's me stopping it myself and starting it up again, or I'm having to restart the program and whatever. So it's all part of it. Yeah, it's what you do. So yeah. On the program coming up next week, the lovely Liz Mandeville stopped by the studio. She came in from Chicago to be a part of what we were doing at Radio Memphis. Liz is great. She's a very funny lady and a great guitar player, great songwriter. We had just a big time down there. And then down the way here, we've got Mr. Kenny Brown going to be on the program. That'll be in a couple of weeks, too. However, this week, this time out, this episode is Mr. Watermelon Slim. It was Watermelon Slim and the Truckers, but that night that we recorded, it was Watermelon Slim and the Workers. And it was so much fun. We had a ball. Slim is a great guy. He's filled with great stories. He's got this interesting look at the way the world operates. He's a great conversationalist. Just so much fun. And you just kind of have to let him do his thing. And that's exactly what we did. And when he plays, the room just lit up. It was a joy to have him in there. And when we captured it, I went back and I listened to a lot of it, and it sounded like that. The magic that occurred in that room translated very well into the recording. So I'm quite certain here in just a few moments when we get into that you'll have just as much fun as we did, because that's just the way we like to roll. So there you go, kids. We'll take a brief break, about 30 seconds. We'll be back. Mr. Watermelon Slim and the Workers, right here from Radioland.
Keep calm and haunt on with Historical Haunts, Memphis Haunted Tour Company. Ancient burial mounds, yellow fever, maritime disasters, Victorian murders, and ghost stories are all a part of the Memphis dark history. Join Historical Haunts for a spirited night out on the Haunted Memphis Bus Tour, Haunted Pub Crawl, the Woodruff Fontaine House Ghost Tour, or one of our other spooky tours and events. Check out our website for all of the exciting ghost tours and ghost haunts at historicalhauntsmemphis.com.
Sitting in here with us tonight, it is Mr. Watermelon Slim and the Truckers. Slim, how are you, sir?
Well, you know, today is the first day after the day that the surgeon said, Bill, or Slim, as they call me, you can work today. I've been recovering from an operation, and yesterday was the first day I was allowed to carry my own amplifier.
Well, that's good. That's why you got Mark Caldwell to haul it downstairs.
I can see my ass, but I can't do anything with them anymore.
I got you. I feel you. Well, it's all about having a great time, and I'm glad you guys came down here tonight. And I figure enough of this horsing around. How about we make some noise down here?
We are having a good time. I even wrote a song one time, and the hook line in it went, "If I ever have to die, let it be in Memphis."
Okay.
Amen.
However, I'll not do it today.
We'd appreciate that.
And what we're going to do, though, is a couple of songs off this new record we promised you and teased you about that's coming out next year. Sometime in January of 2019, we will be releasing a record called Church of the Blues. There'll be another record out. That'll be a solo record by me, but don't worry about that. We haven't got a name for it yet. But this is a song by one of my fellow truck drivers, one of my buddies out of Missouri. Ronnie Meters, if you're listening, this is the very first Watermelon Slim and the Trucker song that ever got played on the radio. Congratulations, buddy. Come on. All right. Let me be sure I've got all these things on here. Yep. You got it.
All right. You ready?
Yes.
John, you ready?
Yeah. I've been living on credit, eating up my borrowed time. bird's got a measure, and my books are all red lined. Doesn't it sure feel lonely when your payments are so far behind? St. Peter, check your books for me. St. Peter, won't you please check your books for me? I done tried to live a good life, so send me down to purgatory. Song on a record called The Wheel Man. Thanks, I think I'll just stick this letter to you and your friends. I jumped clean before my life was scuffling and crime was a chain I could never break. The games I was playing, you know they was paying, but anyone can make a mistake. I was never yellow, just too good-hearted, spent my whole life outside the law. There was one place, boys, I could wear the crown, where my reputation was made. I was a wheel man. You want me to play? I'll still pick up my axe, but I'm doing my best when I'm making cracks. I'm the wheel man. My best work when the road gets rough, I'm the wheel man. I'm a wheel man. And I can drive nearly anything with rubber underneath it. I'm a wheel man. Drive, drive. I'm a wheel man. A wheel man.
Thank you, Albert.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Watermelon Slim and the Truckers here. I have a question. You have that thing strung for a left-hander.
No, I have it strung for a right-hander.
For a right-hander. Yeah. And then
I'm left-handed.
But you're left-handed. And, okay, I got you.
Right. Yeah. I don't even know how to play left-handed guitar, actual left-handed guitar. And I do not know how to play with my right hand. I'm strongly left-handed, but that may also makes me a backward guitar player.
Oh, I could follow what you're doing just fine because it's where
you're looking. We got the best seat there.
I've not thrown up as bad as that in my entire life.
That wasn't bad.
Well, it was terrible.
Nobody would have known unless you never said anything.
I've never screwed that song up that badly before.
I couldn't.
We'll drop back and pun and pretty soon you'll ask us to play more songs.
Right? I will. Yes, I fully intend to.
Okay. Well, you have to make commentary and judgment.
I was just going to ask you a technical, just a gear question. Is that a Seymour Duncan hot rail you got mounted in that resonator right there?
Are you talking about the pickup? This?
No, the pickup.
Oh, I have no idea.
It came with it.
I'm a quadriplegic when it comes to tech.
Right.
I know, on, off. See the Sapphire here? I know, on, off. I know treble, middle, and bass.
Right.
That's all that is.
It's all you really need to know right there.
That's all you need to know, yeah.
Then there's a reverb.
Right.
And that's enough to know.
There you go.
It's not a television. I don't have. It's not got as many options as a freaking TV. I mean, I once counted it up. There were 228 options on a motel.
Oh yeah, those things are crazy.
Control. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, I'd spend the whole night just playing with the menus.
I don't even own a TV. When my wife and I were separated, I kept the dog at the time, and I gave her the TV and the VCR, and I know I got the better of the deal.
I think you did.
Yeah.
Were you playing as a youngster, or was this something that you picked up a little bit later in life?
I started playing this in Vietnam.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
I played harmonica as a youngster. And my first axe was actually bongos. My mother bought me a pair of not toys, not great bongos, but they
right.
were more than toys.
Right.
In 1958. So I've been playing something since then.
So guitar in Vietnam then was a kind of a release for you, I think, because I mean, you guys went through hell over there.
I got it. I was already a blues band, you know, and trying to learn the harmonica for years. It wouldn't have even happened if this old fellow in a commissary that was sewing insignia on GI's fatigues and whatnot, he had this battered-looking balsa wood guitar sitting in the corner, and the commissary was no bigger than from me to you and back over to you. You know, that's as big as it was. He had an electric line to his sewing machine. That's all the commissary was. But he had some little trinkets. He had this guitar sitting over there. He wasn't, obviously he didn't mean to be selling it. So I said, how much? And we're doing all this in French because he didn't speak English. And so French is my second language.
Uh-huh.
So I was able to use it in Vietnam to buy my first guitar.
Wow, that's fascinating.
$5. Okay.
Wow.
She'd love you a long time.
You still have that guitar?
No, they wouldn't even let me bring it back from Vietnam.
Really?
Why? I don't know. They also wouldn't let this one guy bring back a partially exploded 106 rocket. it looked like this. It was the bottom third of the actual casing, and it exploded out like this. It was very nasty looking. He said, "This is my shrapnel flower." They wouldn't let him bring that back.
But you would think they'd let you bring
a
guitar.
Bring back my nasty little guitar.
Well, so when you were playing that nasty little guitar over there, what were you? Were you playing along with? You just playing? I mean, were you playing along with them? Maybe playing songs you knew.
I was kind of playing what I knew, what I'd been listening to before I ever went in the service.
Right.
Service disrupted. I didn't disrupt the service near as bad as it disrupted me.
I think that's
that's a common tale.
Story. Yeah.
I carried harmonicas around with me when I was there. I had a couple of buddies to jam with over there. But it wasn't much. I wasn't a particularly good soldier. My discharge is honorable, but that's all I'll claim is that I did receive an honorable discharge, but it was early.
we'll let everybody fill in the blanks on that there, Slim.
Yeah, well, there was five kinds of discharge at that point. There was an honorable, a general discharge under honorable conditions, which is what I received. Then it was an undesirable and a bad conduct and a dishonorable. And, of course, I didn't want any of those because I wasn't dishonorable.
Right.
I didn't have a dishonorable bone in my body. But they found a way to give me that general. They said I was militarily unsuitable.
Hmm. Aha!
Well, I probably was. I'm a better troop now.
I still have trouble. I have problems with authority, Slim.
Well, I had some problems with authority. Now, of course, I'm too old to be a worker, so I have to be the boss. I'm an entrepreneur, whether I like it or not.
Well, yeah. Got to eat.
Been it for many years. As the body deteriorates, the more odds I get entrepreneuring, you know.
Right, right. That's smart, though. That's a good retirement plan. Oh.
Well, I have a song about that retirement plan.
Do you?
Yeah. I don't know if we're going to do it or not, but one of the lines goes, and about those dreams you say I chased, I'll tell you I caught them. It's not that I have no regrets. I got plenty of regrets, but I'm going on now. I saw the light in the, at the end of the tunnel, and it wasn't a train coming the other way.
That's a good thing. Watermelon Slim and the Truckers in the studio this evening. We are fortunate to make this make a show out of this, and Mark Caldwell has been mighty kind to make this happen. So thank you. Yeah, Brian. Yeah, well, Brian, who's busy texting.
Yeah.
He's sending pictures of his penis to people on the internet, I think is what he's doing.
Who are you texting over there, Paris?
I'm texting a fan. She's watching.
Oh, she is?
Oh, all right. That's how it is.
Did you say texting or sexting?
She wants to, she says, wants to see everybody, but I don't think we can.
He just sent her a picture of his drumstick.
Get a load of this lumber. Be careful adjusting that camera now. You're gonna take the hot seat out.
Well, I was hoping you would kind of cue me.
All right, live radio at its best, kids. Don't try this at home. We already did that. You can give that a twist. That's enough right there.
You have to put it quite like that.
Yeah, give it a twist. Yeah. If you switch hands, you can gain a stroke.
Is that good? Is that better?
That's fine. Yeah, that's near. You can look for yourself right here.
Well, you still can't see Brian Wells, but you know.
As long as you can hear me.
I got that mic hot over there, Brian. Yeah.
That's all that matters. Slim is the main one. Important.
Speaking of Slim, where is it that you play on a regular?
Play on a regular basis. Well, lately, we haven't been playing on a regular basis very much. There are places over the years I've liked to play more than some, like up there in Kansas City, Missouri, there's a place called Knuckleheads.
Yes.
And we've always been treated real good by Frank and them. They used to let me play in other places in Kansas City, but now it's just Knuckleheads.
Oh, yeah.
We always enjoy playing in Tulsa, wherever it is we like to play in Tulsa. Oklahoma City. In terms of European countries, I don't know if I enjoy playing in France or Italy better, but I like both of them.
Yeah.
Which has the better food?
Well, you mustn't even ask. I'm bound to, if my French friends are listening, I'm bound to insult them. And if my Italian friends are listening, I'm bound to insult them. One way or another, we like the food and the wine and the coffee over there. I will say this, the Italians make the best coffee.
They do.
I don't even think the French will be insulted if I say the Italians make the best coffee.
I think the French like Italian coffee just as well.
No matter they call that stuff French roast. You know?
Right. And we're not above starting an international incident around here. I don't have a problem with that at all.
No,
so,
I don't
you know.
Either. I've started two or three of them in my life.
So I got to ask, how did you get together with these hooligans over here with John and Brian?
I was introduced to John and Brian. Well, I was introduced to John first. That was really a matter of local musicians saying, you need to hear this bass player. I think he's the one. And he turned out to be the one. And then he rounded us up first, one, and then another drummer. When we needed a guitar player in Europe, these fellas came up with one that was real good, named Jake Korn, who plays about three guitars at the same time. never saw anybody play like that. I was embarrassed to play around him.
You embarrassed about playing? Oh my God! Watching you work that slide over there is impressive.
I'm really, you know, as you see, I'm a left-handed person playing on a right-handed guitar, and playing it backwards with a slide rather than with my fingers. I couldn't fret you chords. I don't know anything about chords that people make with their fingers. on Prince. My interdigital coordination is poor. One of the greatest losses of my life is that I really couldn't play the piano because I could hear so much more than I could do with my little fingers. And this is when I was 7 or 8 years old. I threw enough temper tantrums, they said, nope, that's not going to be his instrument.
And that's when the harmonica showed up.
A little bit after that, yes, the harmonica did show up. It was the bongos first, but the harmonica, bongos was at 9 and the harmonica was at 10. And I didn't play either of them well enough to establish myself in high school or anything like that. I was a singer. I've always been a singer first. The blues is sung music to begin with.
Right.
And so I was a choir boy, and
in name only, right?
And sang a great deal of the church. I was skeptical textually from the get-go, but I felt the awe of the religious experience when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Do you still play on the bongos at all?
I'm a professional percussion player when I have to be. I don't play enough. I should play more. I used to be a dabbler on the tabla also.
Whatever works.
I was a huge fan of Ravi Shankar and his
drummer,
yeah,
who was named Alaraka, who is probably one of the two or three greatest drummers of the 20th century. He was.
Wow. Well, how about some more music from you guys?
Oh, we'd love to accommodate you with that. Want to do you one right here? This is going to be another one of the songs on the new record called Church of the Blues. That's the name of the record. And the song is called The Postmodern Blues. Everybody talks about postmodern. There's actually post-postmodern now. But this song is... Oh, why don't we just go ahead and do it for them, fellas? Thank you. tomorrow. Don't worry about the pounds, keep to the machine. You don't deserve to have us protect and serve you. Look around the curve to see what we got in store. You got a lot of nerve to ask that we preserve you. Command and control, don't be asking for nothing more. This is one of the songs I used to sing when I was rolling down the road, trying to keep Trailer A behind me, not hit objects B and C in front of me, and make sure Smokey Bear, D, E, and F didn't run me down. got a so-and-so rigged out, boy. Let old Jake break on.
Yes, sir. That's nice
that
right there.
Awesome.
That's great.
That was awesome.
You seem to write a bit from the road about your time behind the wheel of those rigs. Right?
Tell them where you wrote that one.
Well, I wrote that actually coming by the what is now called the Bass Pro Pyramid. It was just a pyramid back in 1993 when I actually sang the song out of my head, rowing across the Mississippi Bridge past that pyramid. And one driver came back to me on Channel 19, I was on the CB radio. He said, Breaker, what'd you do with that money your mama gave you for singing lessons? and that's one they said sometimes, you know, it was all right. 11 years later, I wrote down the song and actually put it on a record, which is called Up Close and Personal. That I made the year. You can still see my truck driving uniform on me when I show you a copy of this record.
Uh-huh.
Luckily, I quit my job, and 3 months later, I found out I was nominated for a Blues Music Award, which they used to call the W.C. Handy Award.
Yes.
I liked it better. That was the last year that they called it the Handy Awards. Now it's the Blues Music Awards, or as they call them, the BMs.
did you win it?
No.
You didn't win it?
No. I was just honored to be nominated.
If I could just take you back for a second. So that line about rolling past the pyramid, that rattled around in your head for 10 years before you wrote that into a song?
Yeah, I mean, I was. I actually didn't write it down. Yeah. I sang it here and there, but
it stuck with you, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was one of those songs that did, and I left that truck driving job and got on to sawmills. I wrote about my sawmilling. I wrote songs. The hollers I wrote were actually stuff I wrote back when I was a moving man.
And so it sounds like you had a lot of jobs where you were, I mean, you're physically engaged, but you could...
physically engaged.
But you could write in your head, you could kind of kick the ideas around.
A lot of... I've got, I think, about 114, 116 or something published songs, and I know 40 of them is one way or another either about driving or about something that happened on the road,
right,
or whatever. Then there's love songs. I've got a few of those. My baby did leave me. It happened more than once.
I'm out of beer. I would drink to that.
Matter of fact, we're probably going to, we might even do that song. We called it the old 145. That's in G or A, fellas? That's in G, isn't it?
Ask Brian. I'm sure he knows.
It's in G. Yeah. Let's play that song for him.
Hang on. Give me a second.
he's tuning up over there.
He's getting his key, his sticks out for the key G.
Yeah, that's right. That's it.
Let's actually do that song, I think.
All right.
This is another one of the songs on this new record. It's called The Old 145. And everybody plays that old 145, but, well, sometimes we have to twist it around a little bit. All right. Are you all ready? Let's try this here. When I got here here you said you wanted a brand new driver, a fresh new approach to taking this wheel. But if I thought all you wanted was that 1-4-5 boys, I might have to think about fizzing out this deal. My baby, she left me. It happened more than once. I've sung some memories, both good and bad, but that ain't all there is, no 1-4-5 don't. Always let me sing about these blues I had. The bottles, the pipes, all the lurid details. I've been there, done that, if it's been seen or done. One thing I rarely lost is my sense of humor. If you want a survivor, you're looking at one. Hard lessons. Pavement's hard, but I always bounce back. And if that old 1-4-5 gets a little bit twisted, it's music and you know it won't rot and can't crack. It's music and you know it won't rot and can't crack.
Yes, sir.
All right.
There it is.
Nice. Thank you very much. Nice. That's all about that blues there.
There it is. Watermelon Slim and the Truckers here.
That's a particular gentleman I have not seen in a while.
I haven't either, and I love the man to death. He's just a great guy. He's just, you feel good when you're standing around the guy.
I love that guy.
He's a classy cat, and he's not near as classy as that cat sitting over here to your left.
No, he's not. Well, I don't know. They're both pretty
yeah, I don't know.
They're both pretty snappy dressers, for sure.
Yeah.
I thought the gentleman you were talking about sounded kind of like Mose Allison.
He's got a lot of Mose in him. Yeah.
I'll tell him you said that. He would take that as a compliment.
Yeah, he would.
He'll appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's another big-time student of the blues. Yeah, he knows all those cats, indeed. You know. What was Slim? Were there any artists that you used to listen to in your youth or in your past that just really kind of turned your crank a little bit?
It's a long told story, but the first blues I ever actually heard was in my mother's house. She was at that point. Not quite married to her second husband, my stepfather. And that was in 1954, back in Asheville, North Carolina, where I grew up. And the blues was being sung by a woman named Idell Gossett. I'm sorry, I'm stepping ahead of the story. This particular woman was named Beulah Huggins, and she would sing what I only later came to know was John Lee Hooker songs. She'd be singing along, talking about how her baby wouldn't let her stay out all night long. And and one scotch, one bourbon, one little bitty beer. She'd improvise a little bit on it sometimes. And later I found out this was John Lee Hooker music, but that was the first live music that I heard after my mother singing lullabies and whatnot. That's how early that all was.
Wow.
and John Lee Hooker today. Eventually, I did actually meet him in 1970. I got the opportunity to walk into a place where I saw his name on the marquee, and I got a chance to play three songs with John Lee Hooker's band. The sax player and harmonica at that point was a man who I met much later producing Fiona Boyce's records, and he said, "Oh, well, how'd you know that was me?" Well, because I was there. and John Lee treated me with a great deal of respect, even though I was just at that point at 21, a wannabe, just back from Vietnam, not knowing too damn much about anything anyway.
I was going to ask you about Asheville. So you grew up in Asheville.
Asheville, North Carolina.
That's a city that's changed a lot. Like
it was a big hick town at the end of the state when I was growing up there. The most exciting things were tobacco auctions
and furniture, right? Wasn't that the furniture capital of the world?
Well, that furniture's not exciting. You know?
Tobacco is way more exciting.
Tobacco auctions. My stepfather used to take us in there and. And here I'm doing and on.
So Greg's going to be like,
I never could sing very fast. I've always been pretty slow at everything that I do, including the guitar.
Well, I don't know about
that. That's not what I thought you were going to say, actually.
The ladies love him.
Yes.
Just a little tall and broad around the waist. He'll start at his leisure when he begins in haste.
that's a line in a song right there.
It is. I haven't got it written though yet. You know, this time I had to record a blues record. Next time I'll go back and record some more of this esoteric stuff that I like to do a lot. My last record released is called Golden Boy, and it was made in Winnipeg, pressed in Austria, and released in Paris last year. I've got a reputation, blues man or not, of doing stuff outside the blues. I've made two country records.
Well, but one blues of them, is...
One of them was the truck driving record of the 21st century.
Yeah.
But it wasn't handled very well. And then there was its sequel. That was another trucking record, but it was more rocky. So I'm in Bogus Rooster, which you have. There is blues and rock and jazz and gospel and folk and First Nations music, all of it.
And that seems to be a thing now for a lot of guys like yourself. They're not just recording just a straight blues record. You're adding different things to it.
Who in the world? I mean, there are a lot of people that still want to hear
But I don't
want to do that for everybody. That's the point of that song I just sang you. If I thought all you wanted was that old 1-4-5, I might have to think about setting out this deal.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've seen a lot of artists now that it's, I mean, blues, country, rock, reggae, whatever you want to call it, that's all buckets that they used to put albums in to sell them at the record store.
And some of them still deserve to be in the bucket.
Right.
But I stopped doing that some time ago.
Well, we're seeing a lot of artists that aren't, they don't identify as like, I'm just this blues artist or I'm just a rock act. It's, you know, it's
you know,
it's all music.
He said he wants to do a hip hop song.
I've got a couple of hip hop songs.
Good.
That's awesome. That. Yeah.
Yes, please.
Yeah. One, I mean, and we were talking about the president. whose name I won't even say, but one of the raps one of the raps was about his Billy Bush tape there, and how then and later he came and said he didn't do it. Oh,
yes,
it wasn't me.
I remember that. Yes.
So
yes.
I called that one. We all heard him.
we all heard that. Yes.
And the next one was when he called all those African countries and Haiti and whatnot
the shithole country. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, that was the second one.
I know Brian was kind of trying to wave us off this topic, but I'm gonna go there on this. All right. Let's talk. No, let's.
You just hear. Oh God.
No, but all right. So, because you, sir, are a child of the '60s. I mean, Vietnam vet came up through the height of folk music when music was very political, when there was a message there, and now we live in a time where, honestly, I'm surprised there's not more protest music coming out. There's not more of that.
I would say the industry was going to filter most of that out.
Right, but the industry doesn't rule what the music coming out anymore. It's because the technology, the internet.
It still does mostly rule who makes money and goes out
and living it. Fair enough.
I'm very pleased to make the minor league living that I make. I've always considered myself about on the level of a Class A or AA minor league musician.
You're making a living at it, but
making a living, and I get cups of coffee in the majors. You know,
right?
That's a good way to look at it.
At various times, but I just did a little research. I make about 3/8 of the average Class A minor league ball player with all benefits included.
And is there an artist you could cite as an example of that? That
another artist.
Like who's a Class A ball player with all benefits?
Oh, a class. Well, in baseball,
in baseball, but I mean, as a blues artist, who would you say is it that?
Well, I'm one.
But he's the guy.
Yeah, he's the guy. who's in the majors?
Trucks, Tedeschi.
Right. We got a Derek Trucks lookalike just running around.
Castro.
Tommy Castro.
Tommy Castro. Yeah.
Bonamassa.
Bonamassa is big time major league. As far as the game goes, like I said, he can't really play the blues because he hasn't had to work. And I know he's. Well, I think Joe's had his baby leave him before, but
you know,
maybe not. Maybe he's happily married all his life. I don't really know.
He wouldn't know either. He'd have to get the sunglasses off his face to see what's going on first. Sorry.
You know how you feel about it. I mean, you know.
I heard Derek Trucks in an interview talk about how when he was like a 15-year-old guitar prodigy, he went on this like tour with him and Bonamassa, and I think was it Gary Hoey or the Gary Hoey guy. It was all these 15-year-old guitar guys, and he was talking about how like the way his parents raised him, like he's backstage like in Orlando, Florida, and Bonamassa's over there 15 years old going, Dad, give me a Coke, and he said, Derek Truck said his dad as soon as that happened smacked him right up on the back of his head and said, boy, if you ever talk to me like that, he's like, well, I didn't even do anything.
Yeah.
but I guess It's like we've had Lightning Malcolm down here. And
oh, yeah, a couple of times.
He's as North Mississippi blues country as our hill country blues as it gets. But his last album sounded like something Country Joe and the Fish would have put out back in the day.
Well, Country Joe was a colleague and friend of mine.
Yeah.
He actually did. He and I met in 1972 or 73 during the end of the war.
Right.
And then once I got to Oregon, we reconnected up there, and he ended up re-releasing one of the songs on Merry Air Breaks, my first record, on one of his compilations.
Really?
Music by Vietnam veterans. I found out that I'm one of, and I've only been able to find three Vietnam vets that actually recorded LP records while the war was going on.
Oh, really?
Yes. One of whom was Barry Sadler, you know, Staff Sergeant Barry Sadler, the Battle of the
Great. Right, right, right.
One of whom was me. And the other one, you'll never guess. I wouldn't want you to sit here and waste time guessing. Was Archie Bell of Archie Bell.
Oh, really? Yeah.
He made Doing the Tighten Up and I Just Can't Stop Dancing before he went in the service.
Really?
He ended up in Vietnam, was wounded, and has gone on to have a lifelong career doing R&B.
Oh, yeah.
Tighten Up's one of the best.
That's a great song. It's a favorite.
He must have been, 16 or something like that when he recorded that.
Really?
He was young. Yeah, he was a young dude. That. Yeah.
He went airborne afterwards.
Wow.
So how do you feel about, should the music have a message beyond just My Baby Left Me? And I mean, there's a lot to say right now. There's a lot going on. There's a lot to say.
I can't help it from you know, my own point of view. It has to have something to say.
Right?
Not just because I'm an activist who thinks in a certain way. I'm a journalist. I got a degree in it, you know. I'm a historian. I got 2 degrees in that. I have to say stuff.
Right.
Because if I don't, then nothing I did meant anything.
That's a brilliant point, because your message is what you have to communicate, whether it's music, whether it's in writing, whether it's in speech,
it's painting or whatever. If I don't say something, then I've wasted all that. Then it didn't mean anything, and that's anathema to me.
Is there a message that you want to convey? If you could say it at all, what would that message be?
Let's save the world. Let's give a shit and save the world as it was in one of my songs on Golden Boy I just told you about. The blues is communion. Eating the meager bread and drinking the bitter wine of the blues together to fill your soul. If freedom is anything more than a footnote in human existence, come and share this bowl.
Wow.
That's powerful.
And yeah, you'll hear that. I've got copies of that record around. It's not being sold in the United States. There's no distribution here.
Well, there should be. People need to hear that.
Well, it's
sell them at the shows.
I sell them at the shows.
Well, I mean, How do you feel? I am going to get political. Sorry.
Go for it. Yeah, go for it.
I know we don't do that on Booze and Blues.
Go for it. I don't
fuck
care.
Fuck it.
Yeah, fuck it. Just go.
So how do you feel living in a world where we're deploying troops to to the border with Mexico, which, frankly, I'll just put my opinion out there. I don't think any good can come from that.
I just saw that he's going to seal the border now.
Oh, yeah, because that's going to work.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just we don't have to go deep on the fucktard in chief, but... Just how do you feel
don't
about...
Don't sugarcoat it, no, for God's
well,
sake.
You know what? I'm of the generation, I guess. You know, my father was about your age, would have been about your age. My parents were the Vietnam generation. Were the baby boomers, whatever you want to call it. And there are times when I'm glad that my dad did pass away, because the shit that's going on now would have killed him. He would have just been... upset with the way it's all kind of backslid. I mean, it's like we're living in the 80s again. We got world leaders that want to bring the Cold War back into, you know, something that's viable. I mean, just coming from that generation that saw it all kind of get bad, really bad, and then maybe come back from that, how do you feel about it?
Well, in 1978, I was in the Black Hills, up in South Dakota. And I was there with, for the last 20 miles or so, just happened to be in the neighborhood of the longest walk from Washington up to the Black Hills. Mm-hmm. And I met Leonard Crowdog, who happens to have been the medicine man that forgave Wesley Clark Jr. and all the veterans up there in Standing Rock when we were there resisting the pipeline. And what Leonard Crowdog said to me in 1978, at the end of that, he said, I would say that he prophesied at the campfire to a half a dozen of us, and he said, the human beings have a few more years to stop tearing Mother Earth, or she will take herself back from us. He didn't say the Watchee-2 did. He said, human beings have a few more years, and that was now 40 years.
Right.
Yeah. Is that a few more years or what? What was he thinking of? I haven't talked to him since then.
So
that's what
time.
I think about is I'm a resistor. Even if I can't, you know, even if I starve, I'll still be free just like the birds. What that song that I sang you before. Mm-hmm. And I said, and everything that I'm thinking and saying is all in my songs anyway.
Right.
I'm going to make my wolf cry one day. I will strike for children today and the children to be. I'm going to make my wolf cry. I know my song well. I'll start singing. Just watch me. Don't start me on Dylan either. He has... He's so disappointing. He could, if there's one person in this entire country that could say, enough, he would galvanize the whole thing, but he chooses not to do it.
You mean Nobel Peace Prize winner?
That Bob Dylan.
That
one. Yeah.
Yeah, the one that didn't want to pick up the award.
Well, right. Well,
it just kind of seems...
Realistically, he knows he didn't deserve a Nobel Prize for literature.
Hey, you know what? They knew that he didn't deserve it when they came up with that.
They ran out of ideas, yeah. I guess. I'll write you some of the
sonnets that I wrote at the time. I'll send you some of that stuff. Since I've got you guys on the horn,
please.
Yeah, please. Yes. Absolutely. You
know, I even wrote a sonnet in French about it.
Huh.
Well, on that, as we begin to wind it down, you feel like squeezing out another tune or two out of that thing?
I believe we might just. what would you like me to play this with? We have the Italian, the Irish, the American, and I think this is actually from Taiwan.
pick a slide, Jeff.
You got to pick Irish. Come on.
Well, we can go. Let's go Irish.
Yeah. Go Irish. Irish it is. We'll go with this Jameson bottle. Now, the good thing about Jameson's and a few other liqueurs that you can get on airplanes, the bottle is made out of metal. I mean, out of glass instead of like... Oh,
plastic.
Yeah. Or
right.
Jack Daniels, whatever. And so it works real well. I'm going to play you this Oklahoma Blues here. Let me get this back on here now.
Thank you.
my God, yeah.
That was hot, man.
That's smoking. Yeah. Ooh, boy. That is smoking. Way to go.
And for the benefit of the audience listening, it is sometimes difficult to sing without a monitor when you're playing guitar on the radio station table like this.
But you're doing fine, man.
You can have my headphones if you want.
I want to do this one more time here. I wrote this song in 1975. It was a very clear day outside. It's probably a very clear day inside, too. Those were the days of experimentation. Want to say thank you to all you blues fans out there because, you know, I've been through some stormy seas, but we're now floating in the warm, safe harbor of your hospitality and your love, and I thank you so much, everybody, and keep on listening and be strong. As it's called, the Archetypal Blues, me and Captain Ahab wrote it together. The blues, yeah, It's a hanging old heart disease. Like tuberculosis, man, it's like cancer, killing me by degrees. The blues, yeah, the, and it low down old shaking chill. The blues, yeah, Lord have mercy.
Doug Dunn used to say that's strong enough to take goat piss and turn it into gasoline. Right there. That's incredible. Watermelon Slim, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much, sir, for making the road trip up here and spending some
putting
time.
Up with us.
Yeah, putting up with our nonsense. Yeah.
That wasn't much road, was it, fellas?
Not for me.
John on bass, Brian on the skins back there. I think you might want to hang on to that rhythm section. I'm just telling you, you know, I don't know that you want to run these guys off.
There you go. I've done my best to run them off.
You can't even fire us, good.
You can't fire them.
I've been fired about, what, six times now?
Three that I can.
Three.
He was so mad at me one night when he fired me that he fired Brian.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's brilliant. That is absolutely
And that was
rant.
In a parking lot in California.
Maui Sugar Mills.
I forgot about that.
Louisiana, yeah.
I was thinking about Sundance.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
It was good too. I thought the one in California was the best.
That is awesome.
Mr. Sub, it has been an honor to have you down here tonight, sir.
Well, I tell you, Abby Rose
is... I wish we'd played better.
Oh, you did fine. Abby Rose tuned in. She said, thank you, Slim. The songs you write and your passion for the blues is very refreshing in musical times like these. Keep up the good work, fellas.
Amen.
So that's a little message there from...
She's the one who wanted to move the camera.
Yeah, well, she got...
She wanted to see some more Brian Wells.
We know what's going on. Uh-huh. Well, we do. Once again, Watermelon Slim and the Truckers, the records are available. Just look out for Watermelon Slim and the Workers, or just That's look right. up for Watermelon Slim and then you can find them. Yeah.
The Broom Closet is your one-stop shop for all of your metaphysical supplies and gifts. We stock candles, herbs, gemstones, incense, salt lamps, and more. We also host monthly rituals and events for those looking to get together with like-minded people. And the Broom Closet is the only place you can get your cards read by me, Reverend Emily. I'm an ordained Wiccan minister and Reiki master. Book your next tarot reading and see what's in the cards for you. Discover conscious living and being connected to an awesome community. The Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop is located in downtown Memphis, or visit our online store at thebroomclosetmemphis.com. The Broom Closet, where magic begins.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Liz Mandeville is here in the studio, all the way from Chicago, where it's probably much more pleasant up there now.
I have no idea.
Did they get some snow up there?
Didn't they select the East Coast and north of us?
We got a Canadian Clipper going on. I was just down in Clarksdale, Mississippi, actually. So
right, yeah.
I'm coming from the south, where it's colder.
kind of strange. How long are you in town?
Well, I'm just here tonight, and then, I've just been told by American Airlines I'm flying home on thank you points because I spend so much money on my credit card.
Oh, wow.
And I was going to get to fly first class.
Oh,
yeah. More to that. Yeah. Well, now they've said that because there is going to be, like, the perfect storm, I may end up just, living in the airport.
You might be sleeping.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Yeah, how about that, kids? There you go. Next week, of course, the lovely Liz Mandeville and such as it is, as we just roll right along with Radio Memphis. I keep there's pollen in the air. I normally don't have much of an issue with it, and I'm not sniffling and blowing wads of snot out of my nose, thank God. But it just every once in a while it just kind of hangs in the throat. But that's okay. I'm good. We'll be fine. We'll just get through all this together before too long. It'll be the throes of summer and such as it is. So there you go. Look, I gotta go. I got places to go. I got things to do and people to go worry with. So there you go. We'll see you next time. Until then, please take care of yourselves and take care of one another. For God's sake, stop shooting each other. Okay. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.